If you have your Bibles, let's open them, please, to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter number 7 in the Old Testament. And if you have your phone out, it's time to put it up. You don't need to video me or take pictures. And so here we are, Joshua chapter 7, and here we go. I'm excited about this passage because it's got something very practical for each of us. And you'll want to look at it because I'm going to read a good bit of this chapter and make comments. And you may want to underline some things, and then we'll bring the message and the practical application. Here we are. We're at Joshua. A little of the background again. Here we are. We're all in. You ready? So a little of the background. Israel has now crossed the Red Sea. They have spent 40 years in the wilderness. They come up to the Jordan River. It's time to claim the promised land. Moses dies. The baton, so to speak, is passed to Joshua. He's the new leader. The Jordan River opens up. They cross over on dry ground. They circumcise. They have the Passover. They see their first battle, Jericho. God commands them by faith to march around that wall 13 times. Why 13 times? I believe God wanted them to look at that wall every day and realize it was impossible without Him to win that battle. They looked at that thick wall and that tall wall, and they realized, we can't do this. We have to have Him. And so God did the miracle. The wall fell down. Joshua announced, no one takes any of the spoil. All the gold, the silver, the animals, all the stuff is God's. It's the first battle. We call that first fruits. God gets His first. Later in the second battle of Ai, God's going to say, see all this stuff? Take whatever you want. Take whatever you want. God's not stingy. He just is honored by getting His first. And so there it is. Now we're into Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. And let's look down here, please, into verse number 1. And I hope you'll look at this. Real important. We'll apply it in just a moment. Just stop for a second. Look at the Joshua 1, how it starts now. Chapter 2, and. Chapter 3, and. See, it's moving along. Chapter 4, and. Chapter 5, and. Chapter 6, now. Chapter 7, but. So things are going great. There's victory, the thrill of victory, God's blessing, God's still on the throne. Chapter 7, but. So here's a negative. Notice what it says. But the children of Israel committed a trespass. They crossed the line in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Did you notice that? God didn't just say Achan. He says the son of, the son of, the son of, the tribe of. He wanted to make sure if there was another guy named Achan, it wasn't him. And notice what he said. Israel trespassed. Wait a minute. That doesn't sound right, does it? One guy took. Israel didn't transgress. God said they did. The nation. One guy took. The nation, God said, sinned. Is that not strange to you? Is that not strange? Huh. The battle's going on. Swords are being pulled. Arrows are being shot. Did no one see him grab the suits and take them to his tent? Did nobody see it? Did his wife not see it when he dug a hole in the tent right in the middle of the floor and buried it? Did no one see him take the gold? No one? Maybe they knew. Maybe no one says, hey, you shouldn't do that. We're going to be cursed. Maybe no one said it. Maybe no one warned him. I can't imagine not one person in the middle of the battle didn't see this. So God says the whole nation was to blame. You know, maybe we would do well if one of our children and our family strayed. We stopped just blaming that child, and everyone in the family looked in the mirror and said, you know, maybe it's a little bit of my fault. If I'd been more of what I should have been, maybe they wouldn't have strayed. Maybe every time someone backslides from our church and drops out and does wicked, evil things, maybe if we all looked in the mirror and said, you know, I was a member of the church. What could I have done more to have helped them prevent messing up their lives? Maybe it was me. Maybe if I'd have prayed for them. Maybe if I'd have encouraged them. Maybe if I'd have included them. Maybe it wouldn't have happened. Maybe that's how God's thinking here. Let's keep going in verse number 2. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai. They're getting ready to go to the next battle. He doesn't know about this, which is beside Beth-Aven on the east side of Bethel. And spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. That's the next little town. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. Now you remember the first victory, God says, everyone is going in the battle of Jericho. We're all included. Total participation. Now the next battle, well, let's not send everybody. Don't send all. And that was part of the defeat right there. By the way, God wants all of our family serving the Lord. He wants all of the family at church Sunday morning. He wants all of the family at church Sunday night. He wants all the family participating in soul winning. He wants all the family at church on Wednesday. He wants all of us all in. And so he goes a little further here, and he says in verse 4, so there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. The men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, 36 dads, 36 husbands. For they chased them from before the gate, even unto Sebarim, and smote them in the going down, whereof the hearts of the people melted and became as water. You heard that phrase before? You remember when they sent spies in? Rahab said, the hearts of us Canaanites have melted. We're scared to death of you people. Now there's been a defeat in the nation. They lost a battle. And now all of Israel, their hearts are melting. It means they've lost their courage. They have no more will to fight or go on. Then it keeps going in verse 6. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He's the leader. He and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. At least the leaders surrounded him. The leaders got around him. They said, Joshua, we never saw this coming. We didn't know he stole this. And you didn't know he stole this, but still you're the leader. And as he was mourning and grieving, they gathered around him for support. And then Joshua prays, verse 7. And Joshua speaks to the Lord. He says, and said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Now, Joshua has all these questions in his mind. Four questions he's asking God. He's saying, I don't even think we should have crossed over. He never would have said that before. But now he's at a defeated time. Look at the next question, verse 8. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? They're not going to want to fight anymore. What am I supposed to tell them? Verse 9, for the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it. Notice how quick bad news spreads. It just, someone says telegraph or telebaptist or telephone, and it spreads. You know, bad news spreads overnight. The gospel has still not spread to the whole world yet. Isn't that amazing? And then he says in verse 9, And the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? Notice, great leaders are not just interested in the fallout. They're interested in God's name. What are they going to think about our God? We're defeated. We've gone into battle. 36 men have died. And it doesn't seem like we're the strong nation anymore. Lord, they're going to look down on you. He was concerned about God's name. We ought to all be concerned about God's name through us, through the church, through the ministry, because how people view God is important. And then he says in verse 10, and the Lord said unto him, so here's Joshua, all these questions, he's discouraged. Verse 10, and the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Notice, we would say, get up. No, God's holy. He says, get thee up. He wasn't just talking to anybody. Hey, get thee up. I love that statement. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Now God's given him the answer. Now God's telling him why this happened. Verse 11, Israel has sinned. Verse 1, he said, the nation has sinned. Now verse 11, Israel has sinned. That's where the defeat came from. Do you get it? They had always had victory. Now they had defeat. Where did it come from? Israel has sinned. Sin always brings defeat. It brings defeat emotionally, brings a defeat financially, brings defeat physically. It brings us down. He says, Israel has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. They have taken of the accursed thing, have stolen, disassembled. That means they hid it. They put it even among their own stuff. Verse 12, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. Someone says, what's that mean, Pastor? It means if there's known sin in our life, we have trouble standing for right. Israel did not stand because there was unconfessed sin in the nation. And you'll find it's difficult to take a stand for the Lord when we know there's guilt and things in our heart that should not be there. And then notice what God says, verse 13. He says, it's time to deal with it. Up, sanctify the people. That means separate them. Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from you. Not going to go into all of it, but he starts calling people. He announces, we're going to find out who did this. And he says, tomorrow morning. So guess what that meant? Achan, the man that saw the gold and the garment. Later on, he says, I saw it. I coveted, I wanted it, I took it, I hid it. That's how all sin is. We see it, we want it, we take it, then we have to hide it. You name the sin, it's always the same sequence. By the way, if you don't see it, you probably won't want it. So that's a pretty good thing right there. And he says, tomorrow morning, we're going to find out who caused the defeat. Why tomorrow morning? Here's why. They gave Achan all night long to come to Joshua and confess. It was God's mercy. All night long. Hey, we're going to find out tomorrow. Achan didn't say a word. The next morning, this tribe, this family, Achan. And he says, what have you done, son? He said, I saw, I coveted, I took it, I hid it, it's in my tent. Joshua, like a good judge, sent someone to the tent to make sure it wasn't just false confession. They dug it up, and he said, why have you troubled Israel? Because of you, innocent people have been hurt. And it's always true, folks. You know it's true. Innocent people always get hurt when we sin. It's not just our sin. It's not just our pleasure. When we sin, innocent people get hurt, and we never know how deep the hurt is. Satan never puts a price tag in Lord's letters on sin. It's always in fine print. So he ends up, they stone him and his wife and his children and his animals and his tent. You say, that's kind of extreme, isn't it? I know, take it up with Joshua. And it's public. He came, Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? These 36 men have died because of you, and they stoned him. You think anybody stole anything for a while? I don't think so. Hearing the kids screaming, hearing the wife screaming, seeing the blood, seeing the rocks. It was extreme. What's the lesson? We must deal extremely hard with our own sin. Be merciful to others. Deal extremely hard with your own personal sin. So here's Joshua. What happens? The next chapter, just looking at it quickly. Chapter 8, what do? They go back at Ai. When you fall off a bicycle, best thing you can ever do is get back on the bicycle. They went back to Ai. They won the victory. God said, all the spoil is yours. I'm a generous God. Take whatever you want. If Achan would have waited just a few days, he'd had all the gold he wanted, all the clothes he had. He'd have had it all. But he got impatient. Sometimes people are a little bit lonely and they have to get married, so they get a little impatient and they marry a person too soon or they marry the wrong person. Impatience. They're dealing with stress. They're dealing with hurt. Instead of waiting for God to comfort, they'll do drugs or they'll get drunk. They've got to self-medicate real fast because they can't wait. They just can't wait. I'm going to speak for a few moments tonight on this subject, dealing with defeat or dealing with the setbacks in life. Hebrews called Joshua the greatest general or commander in the history of the Jews. But there he is. His clothes are rent. He's crying. He's at the altar. He's confused. He's weeping, doubting, discouraged, defeated. How did he get there? There are two times to be cautious as a Christian. One, the good times. Two, the bad times. The only two times to be cautious as a Christian. In Louisiana, New Orleans especially, they have a little saying. They say, let the good times roll. And then I always add, over you. During the bad times, people come to church. During the bad times, people pray. During the bad times, you see them kneeling at an altar. You see them carrying tracts. You see them tender as they read God's word. Bad times draw us to Him. But when they end and the good times come, oftentimes you don't see them in church anymore. They can't make it. They're too busy. You never see them at an altar. Church is hit and miss. There's no joy on their face. Little Bible read. No tenderness to the Lord. The good times, it seems like, they destroy us. In the book of Job, it says, the destruction that wasteth at noontime. When you're going through the valley, I'm not so worried about you. When you're on the mountaintop, that's when the pastor starts worrying. I could call the roll of people that started getting blessed financially, socially, got a little fame, and they are no longer in church. I could name them. Failure and quitting are Siamese twins. Embarrassment is the cousin to quitting. They're all members of the quitting family. Defeat, depressed, defined. Yogi Berra's son years ago, the famous baseball player, Mickey Mantle, struck out. By the way, I like Pujols. Just throwing it out there. I like him a lot. But that's free, Albert. So here it is. Mickey Mantle struck out. He came and sat on the bench. Yogi Berra, his son, baseball player, son was sitting on the bench. He looked at Mickey and said, you stink. That was his encouragement for the famous baseball player. Discouragement. New Orleans Saints football player Marcus Williams was in a playoff game 2018 against the Minnesota Vikings. The Saints had won the game, 3 seconds left. They throw a long pass. The guy's about to catch it. Marcus Williams, all he has to do is tackle the guy. Game's over. Saints are heading toward the Super Bowl. He goes to tackle the guy. Williams jumped up. The defender. Stephon Diggs jumped up. Marcus Williams missed the tackle. He landed and said, are you kidding me? And he walked in for the touchdown and won the game. Marcus Williams started getting death threats. After losing that game for the Saints, I was sending him all kind of death threats. If you died today, would you go to heaven? I'd love if you died today. Anyway, no, I didn't say that. But he started getting death threats. People hated. Social media lit up. You failure. Look at you. You lost the game. My grandmother could have tackled that guy. Marcus Williams said this. He said, I blew the tackle, but that's not who I am. I refuse to be defined by one play in my career. Joshua had victory after victory after victory after victory. One defeat. That wasn't who he was. And he refused to be defined by that battle. Someone in the building today told me this. Every time Brother Reno Likens comes and preaches at our church, he tells all these success stories. We climbed the mountain and we made it. We dove off the cliff and we made it. You know, all these super stories where he was. And we won. And I won. Someone in this room said, Pastor, I don't like it when Brother Reno preaches. He always wins. He always got the trophy. He was always victorious. And then they said this, Pastor, we like your stories better. We like to hear it when you failed or blew it or dropped the ball or messed up. We can identify more with those stories. Who was Joshua? He was the good spy. He was one of the two, the minority. He filled the shoes of a great leader. He was a leader. They were riding off a victory, Jericho. They didn't send all the warriors. They changed the success quotient. They changed the recipe. And he forgot to ask God how he ought to go battle in Ai. Achan perhaps thought that God was withholding something good. He lacked self-control. Joshua had his Achan. Jesus had his Judas. The first victory involved self-control. When we can't control our words, our spending, our temper, our hormones, our actions, our emotions, our temper, we're on our way to defeat. Then quickly, how did he respond? It's not that you were defeated in some area. It's how do you respond? It's always the response. Joshua's not the only one who would have a setback, and you and I won't be the only ones either. I want to give you what he did just quickly. Number one, go to God. 36 men died. You find Joshua at the altar. He's kneeling, seeking the Lord. You don't need social media. You don't need to get on Facebook. Please, no. Go to the Lord even before you go to Christian friends. Reach out to him first. Lord, we're defeated. This has happened. And by the way, God is not surprised he saw it. He's already seen it. And though he could easily say, I didn't cause this, he was still a part of Israel. God says, Israel has sinned. Go to God with your debt, with your marriage, with your grief. With a lady here today, her daughter was killed in a tragic car wreck this past week. This past week, she was at church, right place to be. Go to God. Go to God when there's a defeat, backsliddenness. Go to God with a cold heart, with your habits. It's me again, Lord. Well, good to see you. Some of us feel like God gets tired of us. Well, doesn't he get tired of me just going back to him and going back to him? And I blew it again, and I messed up again, and I'm defeated again, and I messed up again, and I sinned again. He's never tired if you're sincere. God does not expect perfection. He does expect honesty. Go to God. Number two, listen to God. Joshua spoke four verses. God spoke about one verse. Get thee up. Get up. Get up. And I'm saying to you tonight, it's time to get up. Pastor, I promised God I was going to read the whole Bible this year. I'm still in Genesis 3. You failed. Get up. Get up. I promised God I'd go soul winning every week this year, 2022. You went about twice, got discouraged. Get up. Get back at it. You're not a failure. Come on. Go to God. Number two, listen to God. Number three, take responsibility. God says, Israel has sinned. Joshua had to say, Lord, maybe if I was a better leader, I would have seen it. I didn't see it. I never even knew who Achan was. We got a million people in this nation. I don't know everybody by name. But he had to take part of the responsibility. When I was in the Philippines, Brother Doug Sisson had been a high school and college basketball coach. He said, I can't play ball, but I'm good at coaching. In other words, he's real good at telling everybody else what to do. And he said, I used to tell the team, losers blame others. If you're in the blame game, you're a loser. Stop pointing at others. Well, it's their fault. It's their fault. It's my parents' fault. It's Christian school's fault. It's my friend's fault. It's the church. No, no, no. It's you. It's you. Take responsibility. Stop pointing to others. Get your eyes off others and get your eyes on him and get your eyes on the harvest. Jesus said, look on the harvest. Look on the fields. And you'll be a whole lot better off if you'll do that. Number one, go to God. Number two, listen to God. Number three, take responsibility. Number four, recover what you can. Recover what you can. Now help me here. Any mathematicians, you're pretty good at math. Real quick, you ready? 1 million Jews, 36 have died. How many's left? 999,964. Recover what's left. They weren't all dead. Hey, we're defeated. 36 men. Okay, we can't get them back. I'm sorry. Their wives are going to be widows. Their kids will be orphans. But we still got 1 million people. Recover what you can. You went in debt. Recover what you can. Get back on your feet. Help with your credit scores. Marriage is awry. Communicate. Get that date night back. Recover what you can. I think of Brother Berto, one of his men that's been coming from Fairfield. I could name his name right now. When he came, I think it was in some rehab center. And he started coming, and you just saw him light on fire. Many of you know, if I shot his picture up, you'd know him. He just passed, and he texted me a picture of his drug counseling certificate. He's now certified to be some type of a drug counselor. He's going to help many of you. But it came to me months ago, and he said, Pastor, I've been missing all these years. I've had no relationship with my daughter. She's very, very bitter. What can I do? She doesn't want to talk, doesn't want to see me. I said, you apologize. It was you that was missing? Yeah. Apologize. Well, I don't think she'll forgive me. I said, she may not, but that's the start. He apologized. He didn't preach to her. God somehow started softening that relationship. A few months later, he said, my daughter wants to meet with me. I said, no, the Bible works. He got back what he could. And they're building a relationship. He lost it. He lost years. Never get it back. But recover what you can. If you lost a relationship when they were children, build that relationship while they're adults. It's not over till it's over. There's still something left. That's why when the little lad gave the lunch to Jesus, Jesus said, I'm not just interested in who got fed. I want the fragments. He'll take up all the fragments, take up all the pieces, take up all the leftovers, and he'll use it. He'll use it. Recover what you can. Quickly. Confess and deal with any sin. Almost a whole chapter. They're stoning Achan. I mean, it's a bloody chapter. I can't even imagine it. Deal with your sin. Confess it. Call it by name. Lord, I'm bitter. Lord, I'm an angry person. I say things I shouldn't. And you know it, and I'm sorry. Lord, I'm lustful. And I'm looking where I shouldn't. Look, Lord, control my eye. Help me with this. Lord, I'm a gossip. I can't. Seems like I say things I shouldn't say. Lord, help my control me. Confess and deal with any sin. And then I like these last two. Last, get back at it. Get back at it. Chapter 7, defeat. Chapter 8, Ai's still there. You know, the thing with the Lord, if you're defeated in an area, he doesn't say, well, let's skip this one. This is too hard. No, he says, Ai's still there. You got to go back to it. But this time, they remember the success formula. They went to God and every one of them, all participation, God's help, and they defeated the enemy. Get back at it. You tried soul winning. You said the wrong thing. Hello, we're from the Jehovah's Witness. I mean, and you messed up. Get back at it. You couldn't find the Romans Road when you were witnessing. Get back at it. You called Jose Juan. Would you like the card? Juan goes to heaven. You messed up the cartoon. Get back at it. Just get back at it. Well, we're going to have a date night every week this year. Me and my wife's going out. It lasted 1 week. Get back at it. Me and my husband never talk anymore. Get back at it. I've dropped out of Wednesday night service. I could come, but I don't come. Get back at it. You want to get back at it. Whatever it was that defeated you, just get back at it. And then last, and I love this. Let's look, please, in chapter number 7. Look at what he does here. Excuse me, chapter number 8. So they get back at it, and they battle, they defeat Ai, Joshua 8, and verse number 32. Look at this. And he, or Joshua, wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses. Verse 34, and afterward he read all the words of the law. Verse 35, there was not a word of all that Moses commanded which Joshua read not. What do you do? Extra Bible. Extra Bible. After he won the military battle, he wrote down all the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, all these commands, and then he read it to all the people. What was he saying? God's word gives us prosperity. It's God that gives us success. It's not us. We have to stay close to God's word. And that's what he did. That'll get you out of a defeat. You feel like, and here's one of the hardest things about it. We feel like everybody knows. In the olden days, you could fall off the wagon, do something wrong, get drunk, get arrested, do drugs. No one knew. These days, the world knows in just a few minutes. That's why it's so hard to recoup. We're embarrassed. Everybody knows. How can I face anybody? Well, you need to be more concerned about facing him. That's the one you want to please. And then I want to say this too. This probably sounds mean. Some of us think maybe we're more famous than we are. We think the whole world knows. I hate to tell you this. The whole world don't care about you. They're all going to know. Some people are, you know, they get their esteem from their social media accounts. I'm going into Starbucks. Post. I'm in line at Starbucks. Post. This is the drink I'm ordering. Post. Are you kidding me? You really think the whole world is interested in that? It's probably you and one friend. It's time to get back up. Some of you, you're still laying on the altar right now. You're crying. You're saying, why? And he's trying to tell you. Listen to him. Confess it. Get back what you can. Let's get back at it. I close with this. I preached a message. I may preach it again here. I had a bell. We talked about the Navy SEALs. They said you could ring the bell and you could be out of hell week. I preached that message in the Philippines. There's a great big stocky man there. Young man. Oh, maybe 22, 23. Young man. I thought he was a Bible college student. The pastor said, you see that guy over there? He went to our college. He started a church. He did a great job. But he dropped out. He's not serving anymore. It's the first time I've seen him in months. I preached that message after the service. He came up and hugged me, tears in his eyes. He said, Pastor, what do you do if you rung the bell? I said, come here. You get back at it. I said, there's plenty of room and plenty of people need you. We all rung the bell. We all want to ring the bell. Get back at it. He was at every service. He was at the altar every service. By Wednesday, the joy was back because he had dealt with some things and he was back at it. That's what God wants from us. That's the message tonight.